Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for another day. In fact, we thank you for another year. We thank you, Lord, for this first Sunday of 2026. Can somebody say, praise the Lord? Lord, we love you this morning because you first loved us. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. We declare that it is so today. So it is spoken and so it shall be in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, praise team. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, apologies to our non-speaking, non-English speaking folks, especially Spanish. We're working on it. We will be having an individual self-interpreting system shortly, where those who are Spanish speaking may have the interpretation in their earpiece. Sometimes the people who may be able to interpret for us may not be available to do it. Not willing, they are willing. Sometimes not available. So we're working on that. Bear with us. And we'll get it soon. Praise the Lord. So unfortunately today, the person that would have done it is not available to do it in this hour. But we'll do the best we can. It's still a work in progress. And we'll see how the Lord helps us. Amen. Today being the first Sunday of the year, I want to get into this message. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I believe it'll be a blessing to us. I often ask the Lord, especially when we are getting into the last service of the last few days of the year and also coming up into the first few ones of the new year. I would say, Lord, is there something, special that you want us to hear from you? And the Lord, he always has a word. There's always a word. And I want to share this word with you today, and I will read first a text from Isaiah 63, and I'm going to tell you what the Lord said. I can tell you today, Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 4. For the day of vengeance is in my heart. What he said, it's in his heart. He didn't say it's come, but he said it's in his heart. But the year of my redeemed has come, saith the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about the year of my redeemed has come, saith the Lord. It's the title today. I will also add a little bonus to that. I want to remind you that for the Lord, when he says year, doesn't necessarily mean a year. Okay, because in the book of Isaiah chapter 61, if you compare the lesson in Isaiah 61 and the story in Luke 4, Jesus went to the synagogue, he took the scroll of Isaiah, found the place where it was written, and this is what he found, and he read it, and after he read it, he gave the book to the minister again, and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Here's what he said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is what Isaiah said. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. The opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, also the day of vengeance of our God, you know, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, and then we see, fast forward to Luke chapter 4, you know, after Jesus came back from the wilderness being tempted of the devil, went to the synagogue, picked up, you know, I mean, he stood up for to read, we're told, and then the minister gave him the book of Isaiah to read. And he found this same place, you know, that we just read, and he read a portion of it, and then he closed the book and gave it back to the minister and then said, well, this day is this scripture, you know, fulfilled in your eyes. And everybody looking at him, they fastened their eyes on him. So let me read it to you. And he came to Nazareth. This is Luke chapter 4. And verse 16, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So, wants to read? Somebody gave him a book to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, well, he found the place where it was written, the place we just read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty the bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, Isaiah said a whole lot more than that, but he read it up to that point, and then closed the book, and said, and he gave it to the minister again, and all the eyes of people were fastened on him. And then he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, what scripture? Well, all the things he read about Isaiah. But why didn't he read all of it? And why did he stop at the acceptable year of the Lord? Well, it was indeed the acceptable year of the Lord, but it actually is the acceptable season. You know, because it wasn't just one year. Yeah, Jesus was ushering in something, you know. He was bringing redemption to mankind. And they called it a year, but it's not just one physical year. You know, because from that point until now, the day of vengeance is still in his heart. And he hasn't done that vengeance yet, you know. And because, you know, the vengeance of the Lord is delayed, you know, men's hearts are emboldened to do more evil. But I guarantee you, the day is coming that will burn. The Bible says it will burn, even as an oven. It will burn, you know. And when it does, there will be no escaping at that time. Because then he will say, day of my vengeance has come. Now, he's not saying that yet. All he's saying right now is the day of vengeance is in my heart. And he knows when he's going to deal with everybody. And in fact, the Bible says that he will destroy them that destroy the earth. And that's coming. But for right now, it's in his heart, the day of vengeance. However, the year of my redeemed has come. Somebody say amen. That one is not just in his heart. That one has actually arrived. That's what has come means. And I'm here today to proclaim to you, it's kind of like a heralding. I want to herald this good news to you. You know, and as I was seeking the Lord, it was the end of the year last year, and the Lord just dropped the word in my ears, and I had to go look it up. He said, the year of my redeemed has come. Praise the Lord. And I said, wow. So I knew it was somewhere in the scriptures. I couldn't remember exactly where. So I quickly looked it up. I knew it was somewhere in Isaiah. You know, Isaiah is the kind of person that would say such things. So I looked it up and I found it. I said, oh my goodness. And as I began to meditate on it, the Lord began to tell me even more things. So, ladies and gentlemen, I come and I stand before you today to proclaim not only 2026. Remember, I already settled the fact that it's not just 1 year. I settled that already. Because the one that Jesus said, we're still in that year up to now. The one here went to the synagogue and said, you know, what did he say? The acceptable year of the Lord. Up to today, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says what? Can you put it up? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Up to today, we are still being told that this is the acceptable time. Praise the Lord. I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored you. Behold, now is the acceptable time, the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, the day of salvation. From the day that Jesus proclaimed it, the year, he said, from that time until now, that year is still happening. Hasn't finished yet. Because the last part of that sentence is the day of vengeance of our God. And Jesus split that sentence in two. Read one part, closed the book, left the other part. So, from the time that he proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord till this scripture here, it's still the acceptable year. It is still the acceptable day. It is still the acceptable time. Hallelujah. You know, now, the idea of vengeance is in his heart. It's coming. Don't worry about that. You know, even we saw in Revelation chapter 5, some souls under the altar that said, well, how long? You know, how long are you going to not avenge us? It's coming. Be patient. It's coming. Hallelujah. It's coming. But, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, behold the household of faith and the house of GMI Church. The year of the Lord's redeemed has come. Amen? It's not something that is in his mind now. It has actually come. Now, and I want to tell you what it means, you know, together. What it means is not only this year, 2026, but it means this year, 2026, and beyond. Hallelujah. And if you can believe it, it will be so for you. Now, I want to remind you by the grace of God of some things which the Lord has told us, which Jesus said will be part of the function of the Holy Spirit when he comes. I want you to put together for me, put up for me John chapter 16 and verse 13. You know, and then let's see, you know, what the Holy Spirit will do. One of the things he said, it will show you things to come. We'll show you things to come. And I love that about the Holy Spirit. It always shows you things to come. Also, in the book of John chapter 15, verse 26. You put that up for me, please. John 15 and 26. Yeah. He said, he is the comforter. I will come. I will send unto you. He will testify of me. Well, me, Jesus is the word. Holy Spirit will be telling you of the word of God. I'm going to tell you that about that in a minute. Then look at John chapter 14 and verse 26. What does John 14 and 26 say? You know, the Holy Spirit, comforter, you know, whom I sent to you from the Father, shall bring your remembrance those things that I already said unto you. So, everything that the Lord said unto us is not to be wasted. Holy Spirit will remind you, because he already said it. He will remind you of the things he already said. He will also remind you of things that are coming, or tell you of things that are coming. When he shows you things that are coming, such as at the beginning of the year, if he shows you that it is the year of the redeemed, what does that mean? Then that causes faith in your heart to rise up and to align with what the Holy Spirit is saying. You know, that's it. You know, so now there are a few things I want to talk about today, mostly about expectation. Expectation. You know, it's really, this year, there's a lot of things. There is no need for me to stand here today and tell you anything different than what the Lord already said. That's what he said. That the year of my redeemed has come. I said, well, what are you going to do for us in the year of the redeemed? He said, I already told you. So when he said, I already told you, so I had to go research all the things that the Lord already told us. You know, so it's a lot of things the Lord told over the last few years of all the things that he's going to do for us. And just because it didn't happen in the year immediately that the Lord said it, some of us closed the book, put it aside. But you forgot that a year with the Lord is not 1 year. Praise the Lord. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. A year with the Lord is not just one calendar year from January to December. A year with the Lord is a season. It's always a season, you know. So there is a season for the Lord's redeemed that has come. Now, who are the Lord's redeemed? Well, these are the people for whom the Lord did the redemption work. Now, it's actually for everybody, but I mean, not everybody will align themselves with it, but as many people as align themselves with what the Lord did, they are the people of the Lord, and they are the redeemed of the Lord. And the Bible in many places says, well, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Or who are the redeemed of the Lord? Well, the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, let me say this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say that this is the year of the Lord's redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it. Lord's redeemed. That's right. Because the Lord said, the year of my redeemed has come. And all the things that the Lord paid for in that redemption, you know, has come. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean that it's finished, but it means that it has come. We're now entering into it, you know. So, one of the most incredible things that the Lord paid for in that redemption was to get us back to where Adam fell from. Adam fell from the glory of God, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the book of Romans, the whole chapter actually of Romans chapter 5, is arguing about, you know, all the things that, you know, Adam did and all the things, and by, you know, all his unrighteousness and his disobedience, rather, sin came into the world and all that. And how that, through the obedience of one man, he reversed all of that. So the thing to keep in your sights is, if, or let me not say if, I should say since is a better word. Since what the Lord said at the beginning was, let us make man in our image and our likeness, let them have dominion. Since that's what he said in the beginning. Now, if Jesus would come, and John chapter 19 and verse 30, on the cross, would say something like this, you know, it is finished. Well, what's finished? Well, his mission. I mean, what is the mission? You know, the mission, among other things, by talking to the Jews in John chapter 6, he said, look, the real bread from heaven is my life, my flesh that I will give for the life of the world. So it's like a ransom that he paid. But now he says it's finished. That's why he didn't argue with the devil when the devil said, all these things are mine. You bow down, I give to you. He said, no, I'm not going to bow down. You will only bow down to the Lord, your God, is what the scripture says. However, he had a plan in his heart how he's going to redeem back that which the devil stole and usurped and was holding hostage, you know. And Jesus paid the ransom. And if Jesus paid that ransom, and he said, the year of my redeemed is come, and we know his redemption, which is, you know, to bring us back, number one, to the state from which Adam fell, then we know that this year is going to usher in the glory of God upon God's children. Amen. The glory of God upon God's children. That's it. A beginning to usher that glory in. People will begin to realize who they really are in the Lord. You know, it's coming. You know, you begin to realize who you are.
That's right. You really know who you are? Not because of who you are, but because of what God says you are. And because of who God says you are. And Jesus said to the Jews, he said, look, I am from above, you are from beneath. And look, if I say I don't know him, then I'll be a liar like the rest of you. He was telling you the way it is. Look, the children of God, every one of you that are sitting here, if you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, let me say to you this way, your redemption did not just happen the day that you gave your life to Christ. You know, Jesus Christ was the lamb that was slain before the world even began. And according to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 and all of that, he tells us that he were chosen in him before the world even began. So, chosen. Read it yourself. According as he has chosen us in him before the world even began. That was even before Adam sinned. God already chose us. Hallelujah. So your redemption did not just start on the day you gave your life to Christ. But I say it to you this way. You were prepared in the heavens and then assembled upon the earth. Because that's the wisdom of God. He did it before even there was anything. Now, the world that came eons of time before the law, after the law did this, just like the Bible say that the law that came 400 years after the promise cannot disannul the promise. Well, the world that came, I don't know how long before God did this, after God did this, there was a time in God's mind that he did this before he even created the world. I don't know the gap in between. But the world that came, that gap of time after God did this, cannot disannul what God did. Amen. Now, the world says today, you cannot be like Christ. Even the church systems, they tell you, there is none righteous. No, not one. We cannot be like God. We cannot do this. We cannot do that. Well, that's the world's thinking. In this year, you must choose you whom you are going to serve. I must choose whom you are going to be like. And we got to make a choice. Joshua said, look, as for me, and my house, we will serve the Lord, can you really serve the Lord? The people said, yeah, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, no, you cannot serve the Lord. And they said, well, we will serve the Lord. I said, no, you cannot serve the Lord. In fact, I was praying in a certain place last week or so, praying for the voice of God and so on. And the Lord said, you cannot hear my voice. I said, why not? He said, you cannot hear my voice because you're listening to too many voices. Too many voices. Can't hear my voice. I said, well, we got to deal with all those voices then. Praise the Lord. The anything that is going to make us to fall short or keep down being short of his glory, we need to put it away. Because Isaiah 60 says, the glory of the Lord has come and is rising upon you. Therefore, you must arise and shine. There's something that God is going to begin to do for us, separating, defining. It's a defining moment when he says, the year of my redeemed has come. It's a defining moment. It's kind of like the year that God sent Moses to Egypt and said, look, the year of my redeemed has come. Go down there and tell Pharaoh, I'm going to put a separation. That will be a defining moment. Not even a dog will be able to wag his mouth against these people. None of these things will happen to them. It will be happening over here, but it won't happen to them. I'm going to bring a defining moment. That's a defining moment, folks, that's coming. And it's coming not in material things. It's coming in the spiritual glory of God. Because all these things have my hands made, saith the Lord. What then is it? Not this building is nothing to God. Not the biggest cathedral in the world is nonsense before him. It means nothing to him at all. The only thing that makes it beautiful to God is when the Holy Spirit is there. When the presence of God is in our life or a place, then the thing becomes beautiful to God. If the presence of God is not there, you can use $1 million to build it or 20 million to build it. It means nothing to him. It's just one of those things, you know. But in fact, Jesus will talk about that in Luke 16 and 15 and so forth and 16. Stop telling us, he said, look, you are you. You try to justify yourself, you know. And he said, look, the things which are highly esteemed among men, beautiful buildings, titles, all these things, we amass wealth and all of that, that these things are an abomination in the sight of God. I mean, if something is an abomination in the sight of God, why should I be pursuing it? I don't want the thing that is highly esteemed among men. I want the thing that is highly esteemed by God. Amen. Because the thing that's highly among men esteemed, it's an abomination to God. God looks lightly upon the thing. But this is the man to whom I will look, saith the Lord. He that trembles at my word and has a contrite spirit. That man will get my attention. Now, in 2026, some people will get the Lord's attention. Amen? Yeah. You can read Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. He said, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. You know, all these things are my handmade. So, where is it? What are you going to build me? What house will you build for me? Seeing that my hands have made all these things. And seeing that the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. But there is a place he wants to dwell. That temple that he himself built, which is you. According to 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, ye are the temple of the Lord. You are the place where God wants to dwell. That's right. And that's the one that he's fashioning into his glory. Praise the Lord. And when it's all said and done, you know, what God wants you to do when it's all said and done is look in the mirror. But what you see is Christ. Hallelujah. That's it. When you look in the mirror, looking in the mirror right now, what you see is a reflection of yourself. Well, the more the glory of God comes upon you and you keep looking into that mirror, which is the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, what you begin to see is a reflection that looks like Christ. I mean, you're looking at the mirror. Instead of looking at yourself and seeing yourself, you're seeing something that looks like Christ. Because that's what it's all about. Make man in our image after our likeness. Now, God has been waiting for this for thousands of years. Ladies and gentlemen, time no longer. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, look, people said that all the words of God are future. You know, God told Ezekiel that in Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 and 28. He said, these people are always using a proverb that says everything that I will do is in the future. What is this proverb that you use among yourself? The vision is for a long time. And the words are prolonged. And all these things. The Lord said, look, the year of my redeemed has come. And these things shall no longer be prolonged. Can you put up Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25 for me? And right after that, verse 28. The time has come. Now, so I want to speak about expectation. Expectation. The Lord said, in your days, I will speak it and I will do it. That's verse 25. And in verse 28, he says, in your days, I have spoken it. And in your days, you know. So, he already spoke it. What are the things he spoke to us? There shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word which I've already spoken to you, you know, and I was sharing this on our Clubhouse platform earlier today, walking with God. I said, well, the Lord actually said a lot of things, like you will emerge, have quantum leap, will experience this and that, and so on and so forth, you know. But it's like, where are these things that the Lord said? Well, because we thought the year meant calendar year. So at the end of December 31, the thing didn't come to pass, and close the book, put it away, look for something else. But ladies and gentlemen, the word of God is beautiful for every situation. And the word of God is beautiful every time. It cannot be erased. It cannot be removed. You cannot put it aside. Praise God. The Lord has written beautiful things concerning you. And concerning you, beginning in this year, going forward, God wants you to have expectation. Expectation of the beautiful things. Now, expectation is a wonderful thing. And I will speak to you about it right now. But we may be having expectation in the wrong places. That's the problem most times. You know, there's a story that I love very well in the book of John chapter 5. You know, in that story, there was a great multitude, we are told, of impotent folk. They lay by a certain place. Every one of them had expectation. The expectation was that at some point in time, nobody knew the exact time, but they knew of the season. At a certain season, an angel came, troubled the water. Who then, so after that, was the first person to enter into the water after the troubling of it by the angel, was healed of any disease, whatever he had. So everybody camped out. Everybody had an expectation that something was going to happen. And if it happens, well, I may get my miracle. And, you know, but the truth of the matter is, most of the people that came there went home disappointed. Why? Because at most, one person got the healing. Because he said, whosoever first got in there. And then the rest of them went home disappointed. Then they had to wait another next certain season, whatever it was. I don't know if it was yearly, every so many months, or whatever it was. But then they had to wait again and come again. Some of them might even be discouraged and don't come back. Well, so there was this man also who had been having this condition for many years in his life, 38 years to be exact. I don't know of how many of those years he came. Maybe in his adult years, he started coming. But he came. And he went home disappointed. But he had an expectation. And he came again and went home disappointed. An expectation. So one day, you know, he comes again at a certain season. And Jesus comes. Jesus walks up to the man, seeing and knowing his condition, that he had been like that for a long time. Jesus says to the man, hey, how you doing? He said, well, good. We're waiting for the moving of the water. He said, well, would you like to be healed? The man looks at Jesus. What kind of question is that? Look at all these people that are here. All of us are expecting the angel to come at any time. And we're just hoping, and I'm hoping that I will be the first. He was never the first because somebody was always quicker than him, stepped in ahead of him. But he had some kind of expectation. You know, expectation can be powerful, but it's got to be directed correctly. This man's expectation was that his healing was going to come from the water. That was his expectation. If I can just be the first person to enter that water, when the angel stirs the water, I know I will be healed. He knew it. But he was never the first. You know. So that expectation wasn't going to get him there. But he kept coming, kept hoping. So today that Jesus meets him, Jesus said, forget about the angel. Hallelujah. Forget about the water. I am right here. Thank you, Jesus. You know, now many of us when we talk about great things the Lord is going to do for us, we're looking, we have this tunnel vision. We're looking at a direction that we believe that's where it's coming from. Well, that's what you think. But my ways are higher than your ways, said the Lord. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now, it's good for us to be expecting something. Even Jesus, till today. The Bible says he's expecting until all his enemies be made his footstool. And the last will be death. So it's good to have expectation. Even Jesus has expectation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we must have expectation, but have it in the right place. Now, the healing may not be coming from the water. It may not be coming from the angel. It's coming from someplace else. You know, the miracle of breakthrough, supply, whatever you want, you know, whatever you think you need to pursue after, but it may not be what you are pursuing after, where it will come from. See, this man and all of them, they are pursuing after being the first to step in that water. But Jesus would show something that, look, yes, the mercy and grace of God provided that option for them to be healed, but only one of them. You know, and Jesus will show this other man that, look, even without that, I can still show you healing today. Amen. And the man received healing that day without the angel. He received healing without the water being stirred or any such thing. And, you know, as soon as Jesus finished with him, Jesus just walked away. You know, he went away. You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, expectation is so key. We need to be expecting. But a lot of people, when God promised something, most people expect it. But then, you know, they miss it. In fact, the scribes and the Pharisees, they knew that Christ was coming the first time. They even knew where he would be born. They knew everything. They could quote the scriptures backwards. But when Christ came, right in their presence, you know, they missed it. Because they were looking for something else, you know. And God doesn't always have to come the way we think he's going to come, because he is God. And he doesn't need to share that with anybody, you know. That's what makes him God. You know, he can withhold whatever he wants to withhold so that people can seek after him. You know, so he withheld from the wise and the prudent the knowledge of how he would come. They knew how he would come, but he withheld it from their eyes. And they couldn't see when he came. Right. Many people are talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming of Christ. Well, sadly, like the first time, the Lord will come again, and many people will miss it. You know, because this is the nature of man. We're always thinking the wrong way. We're always expecting and putting our expectation in the wrong places. You know, but this time around, glory to God, you know, we need to channel our expectation into the right places. Amen. And I'm going to give you some simple things today, you know, that will help you to channel your faith properly for 2026 and beyond. Released for the first time this morning, anywhere, you know, on Walking with God. I will share the same thing with you today so that you yourself, and I've already posted it for you on our general forum. Go look it up now. Look it up after church. You know, four simple things for you to do to keep your expectation in the right place and to make sure it produces results for 2026. Now, people pay money for this kind of stuff, you know, but the Lord gives it to you for free. Amen. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely you give. Now, I want to explain, and I explained this earlier today to some folks, I want to explain the word amen. I explain it as so let it be.
That's how, you know, everybody knows. I mean, what comes next after prayer is amen.
When anytime we say something, amen. Jesus himself used the word amen. You know, in Revelation chapter 1, he says, you know, I am Alpha and Omega, I'm the first, you know, and the last, and the one that was dead and alive and so forth, and alive forevermore. And he said, amen. You know, he said it. Read Revelation chapter 1, see his appearance in verses 17 and 18 to John. Jesus himself. And even Jesus said, I am the amen. You know, to one of the churches in Revelation. So he uses the word, and we know it. We all use it, you know. We use it. And he says, look, it means so let it be. So it is spoken, and so let it be. So every time you say amen, that's really what you're saying. You know, I mean, but we just say it, we just chant it, really, when we pray. Everybody knows to say amen after prayer. Everybody. You know, they just know to say amen, whether they are believers or not. They know amen comes next after prayer. Okay, so the whole world knows that. But what does it really mean? You know, well, I'll give you four simple things that will make sure for you that 2026, what God said, the year of my redeem, is coming upon you fully. And you won't miss anything. But you got to follow these simple steps. Four simple things. I say, take the word amen as an acronym. I love acronyms. So you see the A, the M, the E, and the N. That's simple. For 2026, because the Lord said it is the year of my redeemed, and you are going to say amen to it, this is what your amen will do, and this is how you practicalize it. Let's think of it. You know, Mary, you said amen. Angel, after he had explained it to her, at first she was confused. I don't know how this can be. Yeah, and so on and so forth. Then just don't worry about it. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Holy Ghost will come upon you. Yeah. Well, you know. And then something begins to, a light bulb begins to go on. The next thing she said is, amen. That's what she said. Be it unto me according to your word. That's amen. When you say amen, it means so let it be. So the next thing she said was amen. She said amen. When she said amen, well, and I say all the time, I say, the moment she said amen, she got pregnant. It was just that simple. And the angel was done, walked away. His mission was done. Or his mission is to get you to say amen. That's right. My mission today is to get you to say amen. And if I can get you to say amen and understand what you are saying, my mission is done. Praise God. And God will be producing, beginning this year, sons of God. Yeah. Because now you know what it means to say amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at it. A is for affirm God's word. What does that mean? Well, that means you're not your word, but his word. You cannot say your own word. Not in this year, not next year, not ever. It won't be your word. It will be his word. It's what he already said. That's it. So if he already said it, well, then well, you have to affirm it. Affirm it means so let it be. You know, and you know, I said also, the people I was speaking with this morning, I said, look, the whole creation, all creation affirms God's word. Once God says a word, according to Psalm 33, he speaks and it is done. He commands and it stands fast. Once God speaks a word, the whole creation aligns around that word. It's just we who are human beings think that something. You don't believe the word of God. God's word, you know, is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Well, this year, let it be settled in your heart. We know heaven is heaven. But But let it be settled in your heart. See, that's the thing. It's already settled in heaven. But we are bringing that heaven down to the earth and let it be settled in your heart. Is it settled in your heart? When God already said it, remember, who is he that saith and it comes to pass when God has not commanded it? Leviticus 3 and 37. So, you need to find what God has commanded. Like he said, you know, like in 2022, the year of 2022, it's still happening. Some people thought it's over. Said, you will emerge. It's still happening. You know, so, find what he already said. Holy Spirit brings into your remembrance. You get behind it in faith. You say amen. That's number one. A in the amen is to affirm his word. Then the next letter is M. Everybody can spell amen. M in that series of the acronym is to mean what you say. Jesus said, and even God, these people, they speak something with their mouth, but their heart is not there. Well, mean what you say. Praise the Lord. If you say, the Lord is going to heal me, then act like you're healed. Praise the Lord. You know, so you have to mean what you say because God already said it and you are affirming it. So affirm his word, mean what you say. Then E, which is the one I want to talk about, is expect what you say. Have to expect it, you know. And then the N is what? Nothing doubting or nothing wavering. Nothing doubting. Even James 1:6, if any man lacks faith, let him ask of God. But let him ask, he'll ask wisdom, ask anything. Let him ask God. But let him ask, you know, in faith. Nothing wavering. Nothing doubting. And Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 11:23. He said, when you say it, now you can't say it if God didn't say it first. So, the A, find what he said. Then when you say it, okay. Jesus said, well, say it. And so you say it. And he said, what next? He said, well, no. That's a Matthew. I meant Mark. Mark 11:23. You know, when you say it, then Jesus said, what is next after you say it? He said, well, you will not doubt in your heart, but you will believe that those things you say will come to pass as expectation. That you shall have what you say. You know. So putting everything together, you affirm God's word, you mean what you say, you expect what you say, and you doubt nothing. That's your amen. Now, the next time you say amen to any prayer, and I will pray a prayer here just now in a few minutes. The next time you say amen to that prayer or any prayer, you pray prayers all the time. You pray with your kids. You pray with everybody. You pray with your friends. You pray at church. You pray everywhere. We all say amen. Next time you say amen, think about this. What you are saying is I'm affirming God's word. I mean what I say. That God already said, I'm expecting it to be so, and I will doubt nothing. Now, someone say amen to that. That's right. So that's your amen there. It's very simple, but powerful. You can look it up on our WhatsApp general forum. If you forget later on, God said it there already for you this morning. Now, that's the lesson, but it all surrounds what God already said. What did he say? This is the year of my redeem. Because he already said it, well, if you can believe it and you can say it and mean it as you say it and expect that it will be so and don't doubt it in your heart, well, that's your amen right there, you know, and it will come to pass. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. I am going to pray and I would like you to say amen. Now, don't say amen. See, the thing is this. Don't ever say amen to any prayer that you don't agree with. You know, somebody prays some prayer that doesn't line up with the word of God. Don't say amen to it, too. Just leave them alone. Let them be saying their own thing. You know. But if you hear prayer that aligns with God's word, then you better say amen. You know. So I'm going to pray a prayer now. And if the prayer resonates with you, if it aligns with God's word, then I want you to say amen. And that's all I need. If I can just get you to say amen today, you know, the devil says, you know, if he can get them to say amen, it's over. As I'm talking now, devil is talking to some of his cohorts. If you can just distract them right now, make sure they are listening to some music in their ear, make sure they are texting something, make sure they are thinking about something they will do after service, just distract them. Because if he can get them to say amen to God's word, it's over. The devil knows it. So he will do everything to distract you. And that's why God said you can't hear my voice. Too many voices that you are dealing with. So let's get rid of those voices. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I say your sheep hear your voice and we follow you and you give us eternal life. And we will not follow a stranger because we do not know the voice of strangers. Now, all those strange voices, the voice of fear, the voice of unbelief, the voice of doubt, the voice of reason, very subtle. You know, I'm getting old, can't be like that. Why don't you go into my maid servant over here? The voice of reason, the voice of whatever, you know. Let's get rid of those voices in Jesus' name. Let's listen only to the voice of faith. Let faith arise in your heart. When you hear God's word, can you hear it? Jesus told the Jews, you cannot hear my word. You can't even understand my speech because you are not of God. Well, are you of God, ladies and gentlemen? Can you hear God's word? Praise the Lord. We are of God. We are from God. God has made us in his image. His word is inside of us. And we have the mind of Christ. And we can understand his word. Praise the Lord. And we will follow him. And he gives us eternal life. And we shall never perish. Neither can anyone pluck us out of his hand. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, you have said that this is the year of your redeemed. You said my vengeance is yet to come. I'm giving them space to repent. But the year of my redeemed has come. If you believe that, you can say amen for it. Well, let the loudest amen get it. I believe, therefore I have spoken. Same thing for you. Wherever you go, say, look, I believe God. Paul says, sirs, I believe God. But the angel of the Lord stood by me tonight. And he told me there shall no soul be left, lost. But you cannot jump ship. You got to stay in the boat. Ladies and gentlemen, stay with the word of God. Do not deviate to the left or the right. Stay with what God said. Say it like he said it. It's none of your concern how the word of God will sustain itself. God's word has the power within itself to bring the change. It's inside the word. All you got to do is release that word. And mean it when you say it. And expect that it is coming. And never doubt it for 1 minute. And ye shall have whatsoever you say. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give a round of offering of praise. Give it a shout of praise. Give him a shout.